May 9, 1899. Threat of chastisements. Jesus gives her his bitter breath. This morning, I was in a sea of affliction because of the loss of Jesus. After much hardship, Jesus came and drew so close to me that I could not even see him. He arrived at placing his forehead upon mine. His face was leaning just on mine, and so with all the other members. Now, while Jesus was in this position, I said to him, "My adorable Jesus, you don't love me anymore." And he, "If I did not love you, I would not be so close to you." And I continued, "How can you say that you love me if you no longer let me suffer as before? I am afraid I'm not wanted in this state anymore. At least free me from the bother of the confessor." While I was saying this, it seemed that Jesus would not pay attention to my words, but rather, he made me see a multitude of people who were committing every kind of evil. Indignant with them, Jesus would make different kinds of contagious diseases swoop down into their midst, and many would die black like charcoal. It seemed that Jesus would exterminate that multitude of people from the face of the earth. While seeing this, I pray Jesus to pour his bitternesses into me, so that he might spare the people. But he would not pay attention to me in this either. And replying to the words I had said before, he added, "The greatest chastisement I can give to you, to the priest, and to the people, would be to free you from this state of sufferings. My justice would pour out in all its fury, because it would find no opposition. This is so true, that the worst evil for someone is to be given an office and then to be removed from it. It would be better for him had he not been entrusted with that office, since by abusing it and not profiting from it, he has rendered himself unworthy of it." Then, Jesus continued to come quite a few times today, but so afflicted as to move to pity and to tears, maybe even to stones. I tried to console him as much as I could. Now I would embrace him. Now I would sustain his head, which was in great pain. Now I would say to him, "Heart of my heart, Jesus, it has never been your usual way to appear so afflicted to me. If other times you made yourself seem afflicted by pouring it into me, immediately you have changed appearance. But now I am being denied giving you this relief. Who would have thought, after you have consented to pour and to share your sufferings with me for so long, and you yourself did so much to dispose me, that now I would have to remain without it? Suffering for love of you was my only relief. It was suffering that made me endure my exile from heaven. But now, being deprived of it, I feel I have no place on which to lean anymore, and life becomes tedious to me. Oh, please, oh, holy spouse, beloved good, my dear life, oh, please, let the pains come back to me. Give me suffering. Do not look at my unworthiness and my grave sins, but at your mercy, which has not exhausted itself." While I was pouring myself out with Jesus about this, he drew closer to me and told me, "My daughter, it is my justice that wants to pour itself out over the creatures. The number of sins in man is almost complete, and justice wants to come out to make pomp of its fury and to find reparation for the injustices of men. Here, to show you how embittered I am and to content you a little bit, I want to pour only my breath into you." And so, drawing his lips close to mine, he sent me his breath, which was so bitter that I felt my mouth, my heart, and my whole person be intoxicated. If his mere breath was so bitter, what must be the rest of Jesus? He left me with such pain that I felt my heart being pierced through.